So I feel like this is like a word that somebody needs, because the devil has fought me every single step of the way to this morning. At one point I was like, okay, Lord, I need another word. It's not going to work out. And he goes, no, this is what I want you to do. I was like, I stood steadfast. I have someone that's going to be helping me at the end of the service, and got difficulties getting them here. You know, it's like the devil is fighting. We had to make other arrangements at the last minute last night. And then even, you know, physically attacked her this morning, to where we didn't know if I was going to be able to, you know, get her here. And I didn't know if I was going to make it, because now God's, you know, the devil is dealing with me mentally, that am I even doing the right message since everything is going wrong? But it shows me that I think this is important. I think God has given this to me. It's in from the depths of my heart, where he's placed it. And we're going to talk about miracles. Miracles is a supernatural intervention of God. It is an extraordinary event taken as a sign of the supernatural power of God. An extremely outstanding and unusual event, thing, or accomplishment. So a miracle is also a surprising and welcome event that is not explicable, meaning you can't explain it. It's not capable of being explained. If you can't explain something, it's a miracle. By natural or scientific laws, and it is therefore considered to be the work of a divine agency. So that's in like all the dictionaries. All of them say by divine agency, or by a divine creator, or by a divine something. So right there, they're admitting that there is a God when they say that. So miracles are from God. An extraordinary event manifesting, meaning to create something or turn something from an idea into reality. You're thinking on something, you're hoping for something, you're praying about something that doesn't exist, and it comes into existence. It's the supernatural intervention of God. So everyone has either had a miracle, needs one now, or will need one in the future. Those are your three first fill-ins. Either, how many here has had a miracle in their life? You've had a miracle happen to you. How many of you know, if you haven't had a miracle, you know someone that's had a miracle? So I think everybody in here could probably raise their hands on that. So you've had one, or someone in here might need one today, or you're probably going to need one in the future. Most of us don't know how to receive one. When we need a miracle, it's usually in the middle of a crisis or storm. So yeah, crisis or storm is your fill-in. So you have a crisis going on, you're in the middle of a storm, and all you can see is what is in front of you, and it's that crisis. It's that tragic event. It's something that's going on, and that is when you need your miracle, and you're praying for your miracle. Don't wait until that happens to try to get a miracle. We need to constantly being in the Word of God, praying on the Word of God, praising God, so that we end up not needing a miracle, but we can walk in the blessings. So when you're in the middle of a crisis or storm, your emotions are running rampant. You can ask Tim, I get all, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? For instance, several years ago, my brother was in a tragic accident, and I got the phone call, and after several surgeries, I got the call late one night about 10:30, and they said, we don't know if he's going to survive the night. I'm in North Carolina. He's in Missouri. We're super close. Sarah was like 2 years old. I grab a suitcase. I am throwing my clothes and everything I can think I need into that suitcase. And I'm heading out the door to get in the car to drive 18 hours at 10 p.m. at night to get to my brother, who's laying in intensive care, who they said, I got a phone call from someone else saying they didn't know that he'd make it through the night. I was in a crisis. I needed a miracle. But I couldn't see past my crisis and past my anxiety and past my fear and my fright. Tim calmed me down, set me down. We found a flight, cheapest flight I ever bought to Missouri, got me there before I could even get there if I drove. If I took off driving 100 miles an hour, I still got there faster in the plane leaving the next morning. So when you're in a crisis, you lose everything, and it can help cancel out your faith. Because at that moment, I didn't have any faith. I couldn't find my faith. All I knew is I had to get to my brother. I couldn't take time to stop and pray, to figure out, to feel a peace in my heart. I just had to go. So when you're in a crisis or a storm, it can cancel out your faith, and it's hard to see past all that. So, but a blessing is God's favor and protection. It's a special favor, mercy, or benefit. Blessing is God's power flowing through natural channels. It is better than a miracle. Because I want to be where I can walk every day in God's blessing. I can walk in his healing. I can walk in prosperity. I can walk in favor and never have to come to that storm and that crisis. So your feelings are God's power is flowing through natural channels, and it's better than a miracle. Better than a miracle is blessed with good health and walking in those blessings. So again, a miracle is a supernatural intervention from God in a crisis. And I don't want to live from crisis to crisis. You know, I don't want to be in a crisis, get my miracle. Okay, I'm good. Go back to my living, have another crisis, pray for another miracle. Okay, I'm good. I want to be able to walk in that blessing continually so I don't need a crisis. Now, miracles are good. And I've had many miracles in my life because a miracle will jumpstart your faith. And that's your next feeling. It will jumpstart your faith. If you see a miracle take place or you have a miracle in your life, it will jumpstart your faith to where you can be continually walking in that blessing. When we have a miracle, others see it and it helps their faith. That is why we share our testimonies. That is why you'll hear us talk about so-and-so's healing and so-and-so and how I got healed and how God blessed us this way and that way and all of Ronnie's testimonies. You know, when you see that and you hear that, it is encouraging to know if God did it for them, he'll do it for me. So that's why we share. And that's, we're really good at sharing all that stuff in this church. That's one thing. We like to talk. We like to fellowship. We love to hug on each other and love one another and share. Because of miracles, we can walk in the blessings of God. We all know that God does miracles, but it's more than just knowing he does miracles. We need to know how to receive one. So there are miracles in the Bible. The four Gospels have over 37 miracles that Jesus did recorded. That's a lot of miracles. But with Mark's Gospel recording the most, the three New Testament words refer to Jesus' miracles as a power, a sign, and a wonder. Every miracle of Jesus served a specific purpose in God's plan of salvation for humankind. There are so many more than just those 37 miracles in the Bible, though. So if we think about it, Genesis 1:1, creation. That is a miracle in itself. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That is a miracle. Noah in Genesis 7:24. Noah surviving with all the animals. But it says, and the waters prevailed on the earth 150 days. I'm sorry, but if I was stuck on a boat with all those animals for 150 days and I was able to get off that boat and survive, that is a miracle. Just the rain coming down for 40 days, them surviving the flood, the animals getting on the boat, that's a miracle. There's so many miracles in that one story. The parting of the Red Sea in Exodus 14, 16 through 18. But lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I indeed will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. So I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over all his army. The Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord. Can you imagine standing in front of the sea and it just parting? And there's like walls of water on either side and be able to walk? That's a miracle. In Exodus 2, they talk about Moses. You know, Moses being put in the basket. And this his whole life, how he was, you know, found and kept, you know, kept care of. And the mother being able to be the nursemaid. That is a miracle. Daniel in the lion's den. Daniel 6, 20 through 22. I mean, just, can you imagine? To me, that would be a crisis. I'm getting thrown in a lion's den. I would not be able to stay calm. I would not be able to, you know, I would be in a crisis and I would be losing my faith. I'll just be honest. That would be really, really hard to go through. But Daniel did. He wasn't worried about it. am in Daniel 3:19, the fiery furnace. Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury, and the expression on his face changed toward Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He spoke and commanded the heat the furnace seven times more than it was usually heated. They continued to praise God and serve God, regardless what the king said. And he got thrown into the furnace. Not only just the furnace, but heat it up as much as you can, seven times. Heat it up. And when they looked the next morning, there was four in there standing. The three of them, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and a fourth standing there with him. When they came out of the furnace, their clothes were not burned. They didn't smell like smoke. There was no ash upon them. That's a miracle. Now, here's just a little tidbit of information. And if anybody can help me find this, I would be so grateful. But when I was a child, there was a song. And it was done by a quartet. And the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and about them being thrown in the fiery furnace. So Pastor Tim back there, I figure you might know it. Do you know it? Oh. Okay. Well, if anybody can find it, that is a song I would love to be able to get a recording of. I want the old version. You had the new one. Okay. Well, we'll talk. We'll talk. But I used to listen to that song all the time as a child. It was my favorite song. One of the biggest miracles I can think of in the Bible is a virgin birth. You know? Jesus turning water into wine, his first miracle. Jesus healing the blind. Jesus, you know, healing the man that his friends lowered through the roof, and then he carried his bed out. Jairus' daughter, you know, he healed. The son of a nobleman. So I'm not going to go through all these verses. You can reference them. My hope is that you take these notes home and you go back and you look at the word and you read the word yourself to get that seed in your heart. So the son of a nobleman is in John 4, So when this man heard that Jesus had arrived in Galilee from Judea, he went to him and begged him to come and heal his son who was close to death. Unless you people see signs and wonders, you will never believe. The officer said, "Sir, come down before my child dies." "Go," Jesus replied, "your son will live." The man took Jesus at his word and departed. While he was still on the way, his servants met with him the news that his boy was living. When he inquired as to the time when his son got better, they said to him, "Yesterday at 1 PM, his fever left him." So we don't have to be there physically laying hands on the person to pray for them. Because it's not us that's doing the miracle. It's God and the Spirit working through us to do that miracle. You know, and right now, you know, in our family's life, we need a miracle in a major way. So we have Tim's cousin down in New Orleans, Joshua, who was in a very, very serious motorcycle accident. And he's been intubated now on a ventilator for over a week. And he's had four major surgeries. And the last word I got is that it looks like they're probably going to have to take his arm. But you know what? I'm believing in a miracle that we call it forth, even though we're not in the same state as he is. We're not by his bedside. We know that God is everywhere, and God can send his angels right now, and God's power is going to heal him. And when they go in, they're not going to have to take that arm. And we're believing it. We're standing on it. It'll be a testimony because the miracles are important and are still alive today. Jesus also raised the dead. He raised Lazarus from the dead. You know, Lazarus was dead for several days. You know, Paul in prison. You know, Paul, and just Paul being saved, you know, that was a miracle. The oil for the widow, when she kept pouring oil into the pots, and it never ran out. The five lives and the two fish. That's another miracle. The woman with the issue of the blood. You know, I mean, there's go on and on and on, and there's even more that I didn't even touch on. But miracles are still happening today. I have seen so many myself through my work. I've seen traumas come in that they should never even made it to the hospital. and then never make it out of the OR. I've seen gunshot wounds where people have survived and been amazingly fine afterwards. I've had doctors come to me during the surgery and ask me on my lunch break to go to the chapel and pray. I've had many people come in, you know, and the doctors after the surgery is like, I don't know what happened, but this is a miracle. I've seen it with my eyes. I've seen it in the heart room. I've seen it in, you know, when babies are being born. Just so many miracles. They didn't think the baby would make it, you know. And, you know, that baby comes back and visits and as a toddler. It's amazing. God is so amazing. Some may say miracles were in the Old Testament, and we don't have miracles today. That was only when Jesus was here on the earth. Let me remind you that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is forever faithful. Miracles are not just for healing. It is for anything we need, for provision, for peace. No matter what's going on in your life, you know, God is for you, and he wants to give you every desire of your heart. How do you receive a miracle from God? What does it look like to you? I've had other miracles in my life. My brother, go back, for example, when he had his accident, the church and his friends all got together and his work, and they put a new roof on his house. It was a miracle because he didn't know how he was going to do it. It was leaking. He needed a new roof. It needed to be done. You know, it was a crisis. It was a situation where he had no clue how he was going to do it, because at this time he was back home, but he lost his leg in his accident. So he couldn't get on the roof. You know, and sometimes you get a miracle and you haven't even asked for a miracle because other people have been praying for you. For example, Travis. Does everybody here know that Travis has a car? Does everybody in here know that he wasn't really praying for a car, but he was given a car? I mean, amazing. Travis has come so far and done so amazing. We are so proud of him to see, and I'm excited to see what else God is going to do in his life and for him, because he's got plans for you that you don't even know yet, and things for you to do that is going to absolutely blow your mind. You're going to touch so many people in so many ways. This is only the beginning. That's right, just getting started. And he wants you to walk in blessings. He's taking you from out of a crisis, you know, and down to a point where you are going to be able to walk in his blessings and not live crisis to crisis, okay? So I'm going to jump from being a miracle to walking in a blessing. So as you know, we live in Hillsboro. So, you know, it takes us about 35, 40 minutes sometimes to drive here. And gas is getting expensive. Tim has a truck. It takes 14 miles to the gallon. We drive 50 miles round trip to come to church. It eats up a lot of money in gas. So he's been praying about it, you know, maybe getting another little car. So 2 weeks ago, I'm on my way home from work. He goes, okay, I found a car. You want to go look at it? I go, I'm tired. Can we go in the morning? Sure, we'll go Saturday morning. He calls. They say it's still there. We get there, and a sales guy that comes up to us, he's like, I know you guys. And we're like, we know you. It was a guy that helped us 6 years ago. He was a missionary in Russia. God called him back to the States for some reasons with his family, but he was still working there. And so he helped us. Tim goes, I found this car online. I'd like to look at it. He goes, okay. He come back. He goes, I don't know how you found that car. We haven't even taken it through the service yet. And it shouldn't even be posted yet. How did you find it? And we're thinking, oh, that was God. That was God. So he went and found it. It was dirty, hadn't even been cleaned yet, still needed work. We drove it, made an offer. They were asking $13,900. We offered them $13,200, 2016 with 82,000 miles. It was a dark gray. We signed all the paperwork. They're like, okay, we'll call you when it's ready. Be near the end of the week, probably. Okay, we walk out the door, and this is Tim. It's a really nice car. Wish it had a warranty. I really wish it was silver, though. That's only two things. I wish it was silver. I wish I had a warranty. So Tuesday, he gets a phone call. Yeah, I got some good news and bad news. Bad news is we sold your car. Good news is, though, we're going to make it up to you. Said, for reasons, we can't sell you the car because, you know. So anyway, he goes, okay. Well, he goes, the manager goes, I got a 2020. Has like, how many miles was on the 2020? 50,000 miles on the 2020. But it's black. Has this, this, and this. It's super nice, you know. Tim goes, okay, but I really don't want black. I really want silver. He goes, okay. Well, I have a silver one coming in. I can have it ready for you to look at on Thursday. It's like, okay, we'll come Thursday. We'll look at both cars. So we go look at both cars, test, and we'll test drive the silver one. We're like, okay, it is a 2021 with 52,000 miles. And they're asking like 1999 or something like that. And we're like, there's six things we want. We test drove it in the car. Now, let me tell you, have you ever gone to a dealership, try to get sold a car, and walk out of there like you just went to church? Because that was this whole experience. We're in the car doing the test drive, Tim and me and the sales guy, and we're all quoting scripture back and forth, encouraging each other. It was absolutely amazing. So we're there, and we go like, okay, so this is really nice. It's silver. There's tar on the outside. We want the tar off. The fender needs a new clip. We want floor mats. Would love to have a warranty. Would like a second key. Oh, and I would like a book to go with the car. So we get back. Tim talks to the manager about the tar, the stuff. He goes, well, let's go look at it. So go out. He comes back and he goes, okay, so we're going to take care of the tar. We're going to take care of the fender. We found the floor mats. You get a warranty with it too. And we found a book. So we got everything but the key. And we got the key at their cost. And we got it all for the same price of $13,200. Plus the $4,800 bumper-to-bumper warranty. So people are like, well, that's a miracle. I'm calling it walking in the blessings of God. Because what you guys said earlier up here, we're descendants, we're heirs, we're blessed. We're blessed to be a blessing. We're walking in the blessings of God. We're walking in God's favor. So it has been absolutely amazing. And that's what I want for all of you. I don't want you to have to live miracle to miracle, crisis to crisis. We're going to walk in the blessings. So, miracles are not just hit and miss. You have to tap into it. So God is always wanting to move on your behalf. God is for you. He is a good God. God's desire is for you to prosper. That's your fill-in on number five is prosper. In Psalms 35:27, let them shout for joy and be glad, for who favor my righteous cause, and let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified who has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. He wants us to share and spread the news of his goodness, giving him the glory. He wants you to have more than enough. When you ask for something, you need to ask for more so you can be a blessing to others. Like Pastor Lorraine said, he wants us to prosper. So I had a teacher who once said, Greg Moore said this, if you need $1,000 and you ask for $1,000, you're being selfish. Because God wants to give you what you need. He wants to give you more than enough so you can be a blessing. We are blessed to be a blessing. And the more you bless people, the more you get blessed. God's will for you is to be healthy. 3 John 2, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. So we should be walking in health, asking for health each day and not just when we fall ill. Breaking off those curses. Well, you know what? You know what it is out there right now? It's allergy season. Oh, man, I really hope I don't get a sinus infection. No. Diane, stop that. I will not get a sinus infection because I walk in his health. I walk in his blessings. I will not get a sinus infection. That is a thing of the past. The flu season, same thing. I don't do that anymore. God's will is for you to be above and not below. That's number 7, above and not below. In Deuteronomy, and the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You shall be above only and not beneath. If you heed the commandments of the Lord, your God, which I command you today, and are careful to observe them. God wants us to remember we are his and that we are above. We are the head and that Satan is under our feet. Like this morning, Satan was trying to get me, but he's under my feet. It is you control God's ability in your life, not God. It is God's power and ability, but it is up to you. In Ephesians 3:20, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. God has chosen to let you choose. He gave us free will. He has chosen to flow through us. Do you know that Satan cannot stop God's power? What can stop God's power? That's right. You are the only one that can stop God's power. So it's up to you. God wants you to have miracles, but you have to stop waiting and start believing. We are the only ones that can stop God's power. It is up to us. And nothing is too hard for God to do. Nothing. So I've listed a bunch of verses. But in Jeremiah and Luke and Matthew, it talks about how what is impossible for man is not impossible for God. So God did all his miracles by the spoken word. In Hebrews 11, through faith we understand that the words were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Your words are involved in your miracle. You can't just get something for nothing. Does that make sense? So, I think I used this example before, but if you won the Powerball ticket and you're listening to it on the screen and they call out all your numbers, you're like, I'm rich, I won, I'm rich. You're not rich yet. You have to do something. That's God with the word. He has, his word is our blueprint. Everything we need is right there in the word. It's up to you to go get that word and put it in your heart and plant that seed of his word in your heart. So your words are involved in your miracle. You've got to seek it and ask for it and work on it. Andrew says, prayer is like water or fertilizer that you put on a seed. So you don't water a garden that you have not planted a seed in. If God was moved by need, by every person's need would be met. But he gave us free will, so we get to choose to seek after him, to ask him. You must plant a seed, and that seed is a word. You put that word in your heart. If you plant a seed, if you want corn, you plant a seed of corn, right? If you want green beans, you plant a seed of green beans. The seed we need to plant is the word of God. Then we need to water that seed with prayer. So every time you come to church and you listen to a teaching, you should go home and pray about it. Look at it, read those verses again, get it in your heart. Don't just take mine or my revelation, or any of the other teachers here, pastors' revelations for what we're saying. God wants to talk to you specifically and tell you specific things. When you don't hear from God, it's not God's not talking. He's always talking to us. It's up to us. Remember, we are the ones, we are the only ones that God, that can stop God's power. There are natural laws that everybody agrees with, right? Everybody agrees what goes up must come down. You know, there's all these other fancy laws like Hooke's law of elasticity, Archimedes' principle of buoyancy, Dalton's law of partial pressures. All this is scientifically proven, you know, and we, you know, a lot of people take that as it is. But when it comes to the spiritual things and spiritual laws, we always question it. So stop questioning it. Get the word in your heart. Pray over it. Water that seed. And I know that I can believe what the word says. If you aren't reaping what God says in his word, then you haven't planted that seed in your heart. You reap what you sow. So if the word of God is primary in your life, you will get the results. But that doesn't mean Satan won't fight you every single step of the way. Because that's what he does. And he wants to cause us problems. You know, Satan may fight you every step of the way, but you know what? In the end, we win. Hallelujah. We win. So you need to be an active participant and not a spectator. One way is to worship. So Kenneth Copeland says, praise is the big gun of faith. You start praising and worship, and that opens everything up. It places God at the head of your life in every circumstance, announcing to the whole world and the devil and all of the troubles that who you belong to and that you belong to God. So giving him worship, giving him praise and thankfulness just shows the whole world who you belong to. You know, Paul and Silas was delivered from the prison. What were they doing? They were praising the Lord and worshiping. He is the one you praise in Deuteronomy. He is your God who performed for you those great and awesome wonders you saw with your own eyes. So I just want to encourage each one of you, you know, to be here for praise and worship, okay? It's not about the worship team. They're just here to lead us. They're awesome, though, but they're not. It's not about them. And, you know, they're not putting a show on. They're here to lead us into worship. It's about you worshiping and praising God. You know, I can't sing. I mean, but I make a joyful noise unto the Lord. You know, and I'm not one to dance that much or do the flags, you know, but I'm here to worship. When you start praising and worshiping God, it opens up a part of my spirit that just starts overflowing, and the spirit starts stirring, and the pot within me, in me starts a boiling, and then my heart opens up and is ready to receive his word. You know, it's like boiling that water to get ready for your shrimp boil or your crab boil, and you throw the seasonings in, or you're making a soup, and you get the water boiling, it releases all that stuff. Praise and worship gets my soul, my spirit a boiling that I can take in that word and just let it soak in, and all that seasoning of the word go deep into my soul. Okay? So, but you have to do it. You have to do it. It takes effort, and you have to do it. So, you can make a forgiveness list. These are some ways to get your miracle. Make a forgiveness list. Listen to God. Be intentional about getting quiet and listening to God. So I'm going to tell you right now, I've been doing it since we started this new prophetic class, and it's been amazing. I encourage you all to stay for that. It is absolutely amazing to be able to hear from God and spend time alone with him. And only speak the language of faith. If you can't speak faith, stay quiet. Mama always said, if you don't have anything nice to say, then don't say anything at all. So if you can't speak faith, then just keep quiet. I will, in Romans 15, 18, I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me in leading the Gentiles to obey God by what I have said and done. By the power of signs and wonders, through the power of the Spirit of God, so from Jerusalem all the way down to Iconium, I have fully proclaimed the gospel of Christ. So we must seek after him. We must praise him. We must listen to him. He wants to give us everything. He has given us everything. It is up to us. Ask him, expect it, and then share it. We need to share it. There's so many miracles in this church that have not been mentioned. What he does for one, he will do for another. He is no respecter of persons. We are all his children. Don't ever think I am not good enough. I don't know the word like they do, or they pray better than me. That is not the case. Come to him as a child. Let him love on you because he does love you. I mean, there are so many miracles in this church. You know, we've all seen it. We've all experienced it. So I just want you to think about that. And you have a miracle that you need, you know, living crisis to crisis. But we want to get to where we are walking in his blessings. Walking in his blessings. So I just have a little presentation for you here. So please enjoy.
All my life I've been carried by grace. Don't ask me how, 'cause I can't explain. It's nothing short of a miracle. call, I'm here. I've got some blessings that I don't deserve. I've got some scars, but that's how you learn. It's nothing short of a miracle, I'm here. I think it over and it doesn't add up. I know it comes from above. I've got miracles on miracles, a million little miracles. Yeah, miracles on miracles, count your miracles. 1, 2, 3, 4, I can't even count them all. Steady so I wouldn't give up. You opened doors that nobody could shut. I hope I never get over what you've done. I want to live with an open heart. I want to live like I know who you are. It's not coincidence and it's not luck. I know it comes from above. I've got miracles on miracles, a million little miracles. Miracles on miracles, count your miracles. 1, 2, 3, 4, I can't even count them all. Miracles on miracles, a million little miracles. Miracles on miracles, count your miracles. 1, 2, 3, 4, I can't even count them all. 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 1, 2, 3, 4, I can't even count them all. Yeah, I can't even count them all. I try and I can't keep up.
I can't even count them all.
Yeah, I can't even count them all.
I can't even count them all.
Count them. 1, 2, 3, 4,
I can't even count them all.
Like when you heal my mother. Father,
I can't even count
in the death of my brother.
I can't even count.
You are closer than no other.
I can't even count.
Oh, you broke my chains.
I can't even,
you saved my life. You set me free. You gave me victory. My mother would say, I got food on my table.
I can't even count.
Lord, I know that you're able.
I can't even count.
Say, I can't even.
I can't even count.
I can't even.
I can't even.
I can't even count.
Too many to count.
I got miracles on miracles, a million little miracles. Yeah. Miracles on miracles, count your miracles. 1, 2, 3, 4.
miracles.
So, Trinity, thank you so much. She came all the way up from Charlotte. So, I saw her do this dance, and it just touched me so much. And the devil tried to stop us. She was supposed to bring the train up. Her train got canceled yesterday at the last minute, so Tim had to drive down and get her. And then at 4 a.m. this morning, the devil attacked us again, and she had a severe asthma attack and couldn't breathe. And her inhaler that she keeps in her purse was gone. It was laying on her bed. And so this morning, Tim again at 5 a.m. drives down to Charlotte and meets her mom halfway because she found the inhaler. It was laying on her bed. Now, I know that God sends his angels to help us when we can't find something, when we need something, we misplace something, and shows us. Ronnie's had that experience with your fanny pack. I've had that experience on many things, and other people have too. So I fully believe that Satan, little culprit, sent his little minions to remove that inhaler from her purse, because she goes, it is always there, and she has not had an asthma attack in over 2 years, and of all nights, in the middle of the night, to get one before this dance. So I really believe that there is someone here who needs a miracle. I really believe if we don't need one personally, we know someone who does, like we do in our family. And I just want to pray corporately for everybody right now, and then we'll have the altar team come up too if you want personal prayer. But I really believe, and I really feel, if we can all stand. And I'm going to pray for you guys, and then I want you, the altar team, if they want to join me now, and those you need to come and get prayer, please, please do so. But right now, Father, I just thank you, Father. I thank you for my brothers and sisters who are here this morning. I thank you that they woke up this morning, and they came here today to worship you, to praise you, to have fellowship with their brothers and sisters. Father, because your love for us is so great and so grand, that you want to do for us more than we ever abundantly could think, and that you want to go above and beyond in everything you do for us, Father. You want to give us miracles after miracles, millions of little miracles. We all have needed them. We all will need them. We may need one today. It doesn't matter how small it is or how big it is. God is able to do every single one of them. It could be from a stubbed toe all the way up to a major health issue, all the way up to financial problems, anything, anything. You need a job. You need health. You need to be healed. You need to prosper. God wants us to walk in his blessings. And right now, Father, I just call your angels down to help us in every way possible, Father, that the Holy Spirit is here touching each one's hearts, Father, that whatever the need is, whether it be health, whether it be finances, whether it be mental, whatever the need is, Father, right now, that you just grant it, Father, right now. We're taking a step out on faith. We're taking a step out. We're reaching our hand towards yours. We're accepting the gifts that you want to give us. And what grand and wonderful gifts they are. They are amazing gifts. You know, you want to do so much for us, and we thank you, Father. I pray for each one here right now, Father, that you would just show your love in even a bigger way, a more generous way than you ever have before. And in the end, we come back and we'll give you the glory. We'll give you the praise, for you alone are worthy of it, Father. For you have done so much for us, and we thank you for that, Father. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. As they go out this week, Father, I pray that they have favor, favor, favor in the eyes of all around them. That there would be checks in the mail. There'd be gifts and surprises. There'd be raises. There'd be bonuses. They'd have promotions. They have, oh, so much more than they ever thought they could ever have, Father. And they come back and give you the glory. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.